It's funny. I mean, this is not the appropriate place for this, but I just recently had a dream where I felt like I was about to start trial. And like, my brain went into trial mode and I was like, get the witnesses on the call. And, you know, like, I built the whole thing and I woke up and it just took me a minute to say, oh yeah, I don't do that anymore. It's okay. Go back to sleep.
There's going to be a little disappointment too. Like, man, I should have been billing for that because it's just, it's gone.
No disappointment. Zero disappointment.
You're listening to The Omni Show, where we connect with the amazing community surrounding the Omni Group's award-winning products. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we're joined by David Sparks talking about OmniFocus. David Sparks is a podcaster, blogger, and author who writes about finding the best tools, hardware, and workflows for using Apple products to get work done. He regularly posts at Max Sparky and has recently released the all-new OmniFocus 4 Field Guide. David, really, really good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I really enjoy coming and the work you guys are doing over there.
It's an honor to have you and love the work that you get to do too. And my gosh, a little bit of time has passed since we've last talked. 2020, I think, was the last episode that we had you on. Dare I say, a few things are new since then.
Yeah, that was quite a year, right?
So talk to me a little bit about the transition. You were at one time a practicing lawyer and then kind of faded away from that. Talk to me about that transition, how the kind of high-level view of that has been into full-time Max Sparky stuff.
Yeah, you know, I was a lawyer nearly 30 years. I did a combination of litigation and transactional practice. And I really feel like after about 30 years and something, you're ready to repot yourself. And I was lucky enough to have built enough of a business out of Max Sparky that I knew I could make a living on it if I just did that. You know, it's of course a big change, you know, when you've got a professional career, just walking away from that income is never, it's an interesting conversation with your wife, let's just put it that way. But it was really the right time for me, and it's been just fantastic. I always tell the story about the goldfish. There's two goldfish in the water. And another fish swims by and says, hey, fellas, how's the water? And they're like, what is water? And that is your experience with stress when you're a lawyer. So when you get away from it, you realize, oh, yeah, that was kind of hard. But now it's really great. I'm focused on Max Sparky, trying to make my best stuff and having a great time. That quote, by the way, is David Foster Wallace. I ripped that one off. So,
I think that experience of not being around it all the time, to where there's there probably was a period of a year or two or three, I'm sure, for you of decompression and transition, where it's like, okay, this is what it feels like without the water around me, you know, with the pressure all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It really took longer to transition than I thought it would. I felt like in a month or two I'd be up and running, and it actually took a while.
There's a lot in the outer landscape that's changed as well, not the least of which is AI, a large language model that's been coming out over the last 18 months or so. How has that influenced your workflow at all with Max Sparky? Has it, and how has it not?
One of the things I did when I left the practice, I started a thing called Max Sparky Labs, which is kind of, it's what it sounds like. It's labs where I experiment on new technologies, and I've got a group of very kind supporters who like to see my initial experiments into these things. So AI has been an area of much interest to me. In terms of where is it a tool and where isn't it? I mean, I think with AI, when it first started, everybody's like, oh, this is, the sky is falling and we're all going to lose our jobs. Or they were like, oh, this is nothing and it's stupid and it doesn't work. I think it's in the middle. You know, I think there's some real use for it. There is a great book by Ethan Mollick out now on AI called Co-Intelligence, which I would recommend reading if you're curious about this stuff. Read the book, did some work, and I'm finding that there are uses for it, but it's not like writing for me. I wrote an essay recently about how I refuse to let it write for me. I would rather have what I call the Sparky language model rather than an LLM. But there are uses for it. You know, it's like just this morning, my daughter is a teacher and she's an art history teacher and she's got a blind student. So we need to get very detailed descriptions of paintings for the student to read in Braille. And I told ChatGPT, pretend you're an art expert. You need to describe it for a 17-year-old, you know, who's blind, and be very descriptive. And it did a pretty good job. And then I said, okay, now convert that to Braille. And it did. And so, like, you find these interesting uses for it, but it's not, you know, the end of the world either. You know, something funny I did, Andrew, was in this OmniFocus field guide, we did a webinar on automation and interesting and outside tools. And I took my OmniFocus main perspective and I just copied it as text and dumped it in and said, here's my task list for today. Prioritize it for me. Just out of curiosity, you know. And I was shocked at how good it did. I mean, because like one of the things in there was like order medicine refills and it put that on top. And then another one was prepare for a podcast and said, well, that's probably something time sensitive. You should do that soon. It pretty much followed the priority I had personally picked for it. Now, do I need AI to prioritize my list for me every day? No, you know, I don't. But my list is pretty small each day. I guess if you had a really long one, maybe it could help. But if you have a long one, that's a different problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is an interesting technology, and I'm very curious to see how it evolves.
Absolutely. I love getting to kind of follow along with you on the journey with the Max Sparky Labs and everything, getting to see how your workflow has evolved over the last couple of years, and some of it a reflection, I'm sure, of your foray into, you know, just full-time Max Sparky work. But can you give us a little bit of a preview as to how things have maybe shifted and changed over time?
Not as much as you'd think. I mean, I still use a lot of the same tools. I mean, I've been using OmniFocus since it was in beta. So that's over 15 years now. And so a lot of the same tools I'm using, but I'm trying to be more mindful about them. And one of the big pushes I'm trying to make, because, you know, I'm trying to help people with what I'm doing, is I think it's very easy with these productivity apps like OmniFocus to let them become the boss of you.
Okay.
And I know that I'm guilty of that. Like, you build out the perfect system and you wake up and it tells you you've got to do these 10 things no matter what. And you feel like you're in chains, you know, as you wake up and, you know, you think you've built this productivity system, but you built a prison for yourself. And I think it's easy to get caught up in that and then not realize the opportunities you're missing. And also it's just not fun, right? To wake up every day and be enslaved to your software. So I do think there's a whole new way to look at this productivity stuff. And I'm trying to do that. So that's really evolved. I've been kind of peddling it as like kind of what I would call a softer approach to productivity. And it's something that we've been experimenting in the labs with people who not are only like stay-at-home nerds like me, but people who have actual jobs. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd love to double-click into that just a little bit and ask, what are you finding yourself leaning more into? And what are you finding yourself leaning less away from?
All of this productivity stuff really boils down to figure out what's important and do that. You know, it's really that simple. If you read all these books, you have to kind of do less and you got to do the stuff that matters. And I think in the modern world, it's very easy to get distracted. And it's very, and there's plenty of distractions that are available to you when it comes time to do the hard work. As a human, sometimes you don't want to. And right now we've got a million ways to avoid doing the hard work. It could be spending 2 hours developing the perfect OmniFocus perspective, or it could be whatever. But the so what I've been trying to think about is, okay, well, what's important? How do you do it? So block scheduling, I think, is key. But also for me, it's been kind of a different philosophy about task management. I kind of go back, you know, now you're doing a video, you guys can see my gray hair. But I started in the Seven Habits, Stephen Covey, Hiram Smith, kind of Franklin Planner world. And I learned back then that they're not to-dos, they're tasks. And that always stuck with me. And then I went through the David Allen stuff. And I've really kind of fallen from faith from GTD as well, because I feel like a lot of that is arranging deck chairs. And but now I've tried to change my thinking about task management. Instead of being a source of obligations, that it's a source of opportunities.
Food.
And what I try to think of it is as lists. I've just kind of gone back to the basics. Like in my OmniFocus, I've got a list of things related to different stuff I do. I make a newsletter as Max Sparky. And there I've got lists. I've got some list of administrative stuff I want to improve, a list of changes I'd like to make to the content, a list of potential topic ideas. But they're just lists. They're not tasks. And I know that sounds stupid, but it kind of works for me. And then over time, I've realized that for me to produce a weekly newsletter, it takes about 2 hours a week. So I need to have a block of time adding up to 2 hours, maybe. And for me, it's actually the way it works is it's about an hour on Monday and about an hour on Thursday, and then it publishes on Friday. So I just regularly put on my calendar 1 hour newsletter, right? And with OmniFocus, it's very easy to get a link back to a project. So if I want to be fancy, I can put that in the calendar item. But then it just goes to this list of opportunities related to the newsletter. And I might say, well, you know, I'm kind of behind this week. I'm going to really focus on just getting this damn thing written so I can publish it. Or I'll be like, wow, I'm really ahead this week. Maybe I'm going to spend part of my time fixing something about the newsletter that's always bugged me. I want to put a link at the bottom that says, see this on the web or whatever. Things that I know will take some time. And I do as much as I can in that block of time. And when it's done, I'm done with it. And then I've got another block of time related to something else I'm working on. And the key has been to be paying attention that you're getting the right stuff shipped and you're giving the blocks long enough. But once you kind of get a rhythm to it, then suddenly the OmniFocus doesn't become this thing holding a whip over you. It just becomes this great list of opportunities that you have to make something better. The trick then is to make sure you have the right blocks. You know, what's important in your life? Is it creating art? Is it spending time with your kids? Is it, you know, getting a promotion at work? You know, we all know what's important, or we hope we do.
Yeah.
But then if you can align those blocks, it's a lot easier just to align a couple of blocks than it is your whole task system, is what I'm saying. So,
yep.
So OmniFocus has become more of a tool to serve the blocks. And that's my preaching on OmniFocus for the Omni group.
I appreciate you distilling it in that way, because it really is that simple. You know, we've all seen the internet image with the bell curve where somebody's like really struggling on one side, and then they're like the everyday man on the in the middle, and then like they're, you know, the Zen Jedi on the other side, and it's the exact same thing on both sides. I feel like there's an element of that where it's like, I'm not here to serve the system. Just because I put it in the system doesn't mean I'm committed to the thing that's on the list. I mean, all of those ring true to me. But I also think about what you're saying about is just, it's what's most important to me in this moment at this time. There's an element of momentum there. If I can stack enough blocks, then I can make the system, and the system can eventually make me and give me enough, you know, momentum to be able to tackle really big projects.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're right on point there.
You know, your latest field guide, when you talk about a big, that is a big project. I mean, that is something that you've had to stack a lot of blocks through in order to see it through to the final portion. There's so much video, there's so much research, there's so much writing that goes behind creating a quality knowledge product like that. So do you mind kind of dipping into what that process was of, okay, I'm doing a new version of this thing. How am I planning this? And when is it enough? Because there's also plus, you know, and plus is like, well, let's add a little bit of extra that just didn't quite make it into the field guide themselves. Just maybe speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fourth edition of the field guide. Yeah, I made the first one a long time ago. But as I knew they were making a version 4, I knew that, like, I couldn't just do, I mean, my usual kind of process for field guides is I make it and then I do free updates as there's iterative changes. Like if they add a new little feature, I'll add a video. I don't want to like go back and ask people for money every 5 months. So I just go and do updates. But whenever there's a new edition and everything looks different, I've got to go back from scratch and remake the whole thing. And also my thinking usually changes. You know, this is an app I've got a lot of experience with. So I kind of think big picture, what is it like this whole thing I've been talking about, this kind of softer system, that wasn't at all covered in the first version of this field guide because I hadn't really arrived to that place yet. So I start thinking about it in terms of what is the big message, what is the technical knowledge I need to instill. Over the years, the tools to build it have changed. I've now got a guy, JF, who does a lot of the post-editing for me. He's much better at it than I am. And I do the rough edit, and then he goes through and makes it nice, and he adds little flourishes. And so we share a Notion database that I build out, and it's by chapter and verse, and then each one I create an outline for. And then, you know, and you're right, it's blocks. It's like, you know, usually for me, I try to do most of my work Monday through Wednesday, and then I keep Thursday and Friday to record field guides. And it just, I mean, I think the final, I honestly forgot how long, I think it was in the 7 or 8 hour range was the final video. And there's over 100 videos. And I try to break it up into bite-sized pieces. But then so there's the standard version, the Amateur Focus 4 field guide, and there's the plus version. And the plus version is a series of webinars we did over 8 weeks, I think. And that was really fun because getting to talk to people about how they're using it and where they're hitting stumbling blocks, to me, that's kind of like the PhD stuff or OmniFocus when you start, you know, actually working with people and talking about it and kind of getting deeper into the concepts I was sharing with you. I mean, OmniFocus is a powerful tool, but it's also subject to abuse. I think, a lot of people who get into productivity, you know, with technology, get caught by it, you know, because it's very easy to want to change tools every week, and yep. You know, this thing isn't quite fast enough. I need it to do this thing like, you know, 5 seconds faster each day, and like it is really a way to avoid doing the hard stuff. And I think that all of us that get kind of caught by that, and I'm in the group too, it's happened to me. I think it is a way we use to distract ourselves from what's important in life. And, you know, momento mori, baby. You got to get the hard stuff done. So that course in the plus session, we kind of got a little hippie in there. But I think it really helped people.
Absolutely. I have you to thank for the last episode you mentioned. The whole concept of dispensers of sugar, I think, is the phrase that you used for habit tracking. And had you not said that phrase, I think I would have been off. And there's an entire tangent, I think, of a couple of months that you might have saved me some grief on. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, that is a funny thing, the habit tracking apps and like building custom bullet journal pages. And it's like, come on, man, can you just do the work?
I mean, yeah, it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into that trap. For me personally, the black hole of capture is the trap. It's just, you know, I can free my mind by filling out everything that I happen to think about. And then 2 days later, you open up the inbox to see 350 items on there. And they are everything from, you know, I want to buy Tostitos to why am I on the planet? You know,
you know the trick to that, Andrew,
please. Is
you just have to be a cold-blooded killer in your inbox and don't even think twice about hitting that delete button.
That's it.
Just don't think twice. And same thing with the review. It's like, be brutal in review. Like, the first question should be, can I delete this? Can I get rid of this? And the whole thing you're fighting for, and again, I guess I keep coming back to this. I made another field guide that released in January called Productivity Field Guide. And this one is the most important one I've ever made because it's talking about the big question of what are the big things to you? But if you figure those things out, it makes it a lot easier in your review of OmniFocus to say, oh yeah, you know what, this doesn't serve the bigger goal. If you figure that stuff out, it makes it a lot easier to kill that stuff. But yeah, you just got to be brutal. Because I'm the same way. I'll capture on a whim, but I will also kill on a whim. Was it Stephen King said, it said kill your babies or something like that? Yeah, that I'll do that with my tasks and projects.
I think of the whole, you know, GTD5, you know, workflow phases. And the question is, what is it? And, you know, is it actionable? And maybe just popping in, can I kill it first? I think would be a really helpful thing for me to do. So I love that.
Yeah.
What has currently been inspiring you in the world at large? So you're in labs and you're kind of doing fresh new stuff. What is it that's catching your attention that you're like, oh, there might be something to this for me?
The stuff I was talking about feels important to me because I feel like I am a victim of this as well. You know, because I'm in my mid-50s now, and I got out of law school, and then I worked for like 15, 20 years, and I just was trying to keep up with everything every day. I knew that I needed to figure out what the big questions were and the most important stuff, but I wasn't willing to do it because it just sounded like misery and difficult to me, you know? I mean, that's a tough conversation to sit there and say,
yeah,
okay,
it is.
If I'm going to get hit by a bus tomorrow, what is the thing that I need to finish today? You know, what is the thing that I need to do with my life that matters as opposed to, you know, watching all the episodes of some TV show or something, you know?
Yeah.
So what matters? And it's like, that's a hard question to ask yourself. And like, And then you're like, yeah, but I'm just trying to pay the rent here. So I don't have time for that question. You know? So I finally got around to asking myself that. And that's what I covered how to do in the Productivity Field Guide. That's what I'm excited about, because I feel like there's some stuff I want to get out there now. There's some options I want to give people. I'd like people to get better at this. I'd like people to be less caught up in their technology and more, you know, I want you to, I'm not anti-technology. I'm much in favor of it, but I feel like there's a good way to use it. And there's a way to use it that takes you away from the big goal. And honestly, Silicon Valley, they've let us down. Those guys don't care. Ken in the group at Omni Group cares. I mean, I'll say that. I've met those guys. But a lot of these people at these big software companies are just looking to monetize your attention. And they don't care that you get the important things done before you die. I mean, in fact, they would just rather you watch puppy videos, honestly. So, yeah, so you figure out what's important to you, and then that's exciting to figure out how to make it happen, to see results. And so that's what I'm excited about. And I'm excited about version 4 of OmniFocus. I went on a little, I almost tried to quit the app, you know, because I'd been using it so long. And there's part of me that's like, why would you use an app that long? There might be something better. And Labs members are telling me, oh, Reminders is great now. And I tried Reminders, and it's okay, but it's almost like one hand tied behind your back. And then there's all these new tools that are coming out, these AI-based web tools where they want to manage your tasks and your calendar for you. And, you know, I just feel like they're really not that helpful. I mean, I tried a bunch of them, and they're not that smart yet. Maybe they'll get smarter. The problem for me is not that my tasks aren't organizing themselves fast enough. It's the problem is I'm not spending enough time doing the important stuff. So I don't really know that I need AI to solve that problem for me. But so it's been kind of fun, like testing out a bunch of apps and then landing back in OmniFocus. And version 4 just rocks. It's great. You know,
it's funny. Somebody once asked me, you know, Andrew, how do you know what questions to ask a guest? Like if you're on a show doing an interview or whatever. And I didn't really know the answer until it came to me in that moment. And I said, I kind of look for this seed of enthusiasm in the guest. So we could have like an entire different script or whatever, but somewhere in there, there's the seed of enthusiasm. Like I feel some energy around what they're talking about and they're excited about it.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about the, you know, why I'm on the planet stuff, you know, the big questions that I've answered here and kind of making some progress, you know, you definitely don't have to go any deeper than you want to, but I am curious. Do you feel like you've made some progress in that direction in kind of really finding and realizing what that is for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always had been kind of on track, but I do feel like I had a 15-year gap where I was unwilling to ask the question, and I regret that. But, you know, and as you get older, like, I mean, this is really a weird episode for your show, but I mean, it's like I've had friends die in the last few years, and it's like some of them, they get to the end and they're miserable, and some of them get to the end and they're ready. And the difference is the ones that are ready are the ones that did the work.
That's right.
You know, and it really just makes me think about that. I'm not trying to be morbid, but it's true, you know, and I want to use this technology to help me get there. So I'm thinking about tasks a lot softer and trying to think more about spending my time on the stuff that's important and then using the technology to feed that without making me feel like it's like a mandatory list of things I have to do.
Absolutely.
You know, another weird thing I'm doing is I have gone analog for the last, like, last 5 yards of my productivity. So I Ugmonk makes these expensive index cards, and they you know, here, I got one here. Here's today's card. I haven't checked everything off yet, but so I go through OmniFocus the night before and I pull out the few things. The beauty of the card is only 10 things fit on a card, and I just write down with a pencil the stuff that I really want to get done. And the weird bit is I check it off in OmniFocus when I put it on the card. So it's like Cortez burning his ships in the New World, you know? So it's like, okay, I checked it off. I better do it. And it is kind of fun. And then, but the nice thing is it just sits on your desk in front of you all day, and then you just reach in. So I capture into OmniFocus throughout the day, but I don't really work in it until the evening when I do the shutdown routine and fill out a card for the next day. If I have a shameful failure, then I will go ahead and put the task in OmniFocus and uncheck it or copy it to tomorrow's card. But But largely, it's kind of a fun little experiment. I started it 2 years ago just as a goof for the labs, and it stuck.
Well, speaking of Max Barkey, is there anything that you have that's kind of coming down the pipeline that you're working on, that you're excited about, fascinated with? Talk to us about what's latest and greatest over there.
Just the usual. I'm really enjoying the labs, and I make one or two field guides a year, and that keeps me busy. So we've been talking about this OmniFocus 4 field guide, which I hope there's stuff in there for power. I really try to make it accessible to people who've never used the app, but I also try to put stuff in there for people who are pro users. I'm going to put a discount code up for you for that product before we hang up. I don't know, how about Hooray Omni? Hooray Omni will get you 20% off. But I'm also going to use the code for the productivity field guide, because I feel like those two products really kind of work in tandem.
Can you keep,
kind of getting the big stuff figured out and then implementing it. Like one of the big things I argue for in the productivity field guide is, you know, this idea of picking goals is to me kind of nonsense, because it's hard. And what happens when you hit the goal? Does that mean you don't have to work anymore? So I'm a big focus on roles of my life, role as a husband, a father, as a Max Barkey. So OmniFocus really works nicely with a roles-based system, because you just create a folder for each role, and then you create projects in the role. You know, like if someone says, as a husband, my wife said, hey, can you go take care of this thing for me that's enough to justify an OmniFocus project? I put it in the husband role. And then I'm like, well, what am I doing as a good husband? Well, there's one thing I'm working on. And then when someone asks you to do something that doesn't fit in one of those folders, because you've chosen the roles of your life, then you're like, well, wait a second. Gee. Is this something I even want to do? Because it doesn't fit in the roles I've chosen for myself. Am I going to pick up a new role, or am I going to tell them no? And, so it's just kind of an interesting combination of using OmniFocus with that system. It's just so flexible, it's just kind of interesting to me that this silly productivity system I put together based on a bunch of ancient writers is completely compatible with OmniFocus 4.
I love the lens, you know. So now I have two extra barriers to having something land in my system now. Number one, is it a role? Because I do roles based as well. And then number two, can I delete it? I think both of those are fantastic for me.
Yeah, man, the delete key is the most important one. I once talked to Ken and Sal Segoy, and I said, could we make an automation that says if I defer a task five times, it just deletes it? And they're like laughing at me. They're like, oh, that's so silly. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of serious about this.
Now, granted, there's probably a lot of anniversary presents or birthday presents that don't get purchased or things that get deferred a couple of times. But I think that would be
the five times.
It's probably extra moment or extra reason to justification to do the actual task, though, too, because you know you're at number four. If I defer it, it goes away.
Yeah, this is. I don't know if they have metadata to show how many times you've deferred it, but the. I mean, it didn't go anywhere beyond just me saying that, but you know, I can kind of see that working, you know? I mean, I hear that, you know, because I talk about OmniFocus a lot and do these courses. I get like a weekly email from somebody who says, oh, man, this OmniFocus isn't working for me. And they're like, it's because I have 10,000 tasks in there and it's just completely overwhelming. And I'm like, well, it's not an OmniFocus problem. It's a you problem. You know, you put too much in there and the computer will gobble up as many tasks as you put in. And something with OmniFocus, it uses automation. It can even generate them while you're asleep. But the question is, what are you going to do? Like, I don't feel like the stuff in OmniFocus is all going to be done by the time I'm dead. Right? I don't care.
Yeah. You know? That's not even the point.
Using perspectives and things, I find what's important and I do that stuff. But at the same time, I'm also just really ruthless about deleting projects. And if I defer too many times, or if I put it on hold and I notice it's been on hold for a year, I'm just like, well, you know what? If I'm going to actually do this someday, I'll recreate it. But in the meantime, you know, like that's one of the things, like the someday maybe list in kind of canon GTD. Uh-huh. I've never really bought into that. It's like, no, I'm going to do it or I'm going to kill it. And then someday is like, if I have the idea again in a year and I want to recreate it, I'll do it then. But But I don't need to keep all that noise in there of stuff that I'm not actually going to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, a 4 year later, possibly much more zen David Sparks.
Quit your job. You feel very zen. There you go.
I really love this conversation though, because it does speak to a lot of the reason why, you know, behind what we're doing. So yeah, there is tactical, practical for sure. But, you know, if we're spinning our wheels, what for? Got to ask those questions. It makes sense. I appreciate you hanging out with us. This is awesome. I know people can find you at maxsparky.com. Is there anywhere else that you'd like them to hang out with you?
If you go there, you'll find everything. If you specifically want the field guides, go to learn.maxsparky.com. And I'm going to write it down. Was it Omni? Hooray Omni. There we go. I'll get that up. So if anybody wants the productivity or OmniFocus field guides, I'll get you 20% off with that. But that'll be for like a month after the show drops. I appreciate your support and, I gave you the good stuff here in the interview. Think about those blocks and lists and maybe consider softening your approach to this stuff with something like that and do the work to figure out what's important. And then all of a sudden, good stuff happens.
Well said. Well said, David. Thank you so much for joining us. This is awesome.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today, too. You can find us on Mastodon, at The Omni Show, at omnigroup.com. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.